The back for an age-appropriate Bible lesson, and we'll come back in towards the end of the sermon. Father, as we come before your word again this afternoon, we come with an acknowledgement that our life isn't in our own hands, that we don't ultimately determine our own outcomes, that we are not in ultimate control. And so we come before you this afternoon with a heart that longs to hear from you, a heart that needs to hear from you. And so, God, we ask that by your Spirit, you would speak to each and every one of us through the power of your word. And so we pray and ask for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah 29, verses 4 to 7 are where we're going to be this afternoon. Turn with me there. Jeremiah 29, verses 4 to 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I've sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Excuse me. Well, friends, we're continuing in our sermon series here on our mission, our vision, and our values. And it's an opportunity to understand who we are as a church, where we're trying to go, and then what are the things that we're not going to compromise along the way. And so we come today to our fourth core value. Our fourth core value is a north side focus, a north side focus. But before we get there, I know it's up there. Let's read our mission together again. So it's important that we go over it again. Do you remember it? Can you say it yet from memory? It says, the mission of Northside Church is to glorify God by making disciples, are joyful worshipers, nurturing family, and engaged neighbors. So again, it's nurturing family, just one family. We're trying to be a nurturing family together, single, and engaged neighbors. So friends, today we come to this topic of Northside focus. And I just want to help you think about focus here for a second, because focus, I've heard it described as a superpower these days. Why would focus be a superpower in 2019? Because there's so many distractions, right? There are so many distractions. And if you have the ability to actually focus at your work or in your business or at school or on something, you actually have a leg up on a lot of other folks. And so I want you to think about this for a second. Kids, if you're performing something, like, I don't know, maybe piano or a song or viola, or you did a performance at school or something like that recently, you're performing. When you're performing, is it good for you to be thinking about what you want for dinner? No. Probably not, right? You know, no. What is it you need at that moment? You need focus, right? Like, you need to be focused on what you're doing. Let's say if you're going to go to you're in a basketball game and you go to the line and you've got two free throws to win the game. Should you be thinking about what you want to do this summer? No, right. You probably want to be focused on what's in front of you, right? There's all sorts of other good things to be thinking about, right? All sorts of other great things to be thinking about. But at that moment, you need to be focused on something. You need to sort of, in a sense, put all those other things aside for that moment. Say, I need to be right here, right now, in order to execute on what's in front of me. If you're at work, and you've got a deadline, and you've got a big project that's coming up, should you be thinking about what you're going to do this weekend? Probably not, right? You know, you need at that moment, you need focus. All sorts of good other things to think about at different points in life. So what is it to focus? Well, to have a focus is to be able to say, this is where my energy is going, right? My thoughts, my energy, there are all sorts of things I could be thinking about, could be focused on, and yet for right now, I'm all of my energy is moving towards this thing, whatever that thing is. And then your focus can change in different times and places and should. Like when you leave work, should you still be focused on work? No, right? When you're with somebody, you should be focused on them, right? Well, friends, I'm here to tell you that our church has a focus. And it's, we call it a Northside focus. And we need to talk about what that is, why we have it, what we're up to here, why have a concentration of our energy and resources on the north side of Richmond. Well, let me give you a little history of why we exist as a church. We're a part of a church planting movement. And we just say up front that we're not, and this is our distinctive here to have a small geographic focus is not something that we think all churches need to have. And in fact, we're very thankful for regional churches who sort of have folks that come from all over, and we're actually the product of a regional church, right? West End Pres, in 2003, they had folks, there's a church, a Presbyterian church in the West End, who had folks coming from all over Metro Richmond. And in 2003, they were sitting in a dilemma saying, should we build, do we need more chairs? Do we need another service? Do we need to build a bigger building? Or, that was one option, had a lot of people coming from all over Metro Richmond. That was one option. Big build, you know, go bigger on that location, or should we plant churches all over Metro Richmond? Should we send people out from here to go plant churches in other parts of Richmond? And the decision they ended up making is they said, we actually think we're going to reach more people by sending people that are here out to those other parts of Richmond where they live and planting smaller churches there that are focused on those spaces and those places. And the reason was this, is that for the most part, Christians will drive 20, 30 minutes to go to a church they like, but non-Christians won't. And so they thought, hey, let's do this. Rather than doing more here at this location, let's send out people, let's send out money, let's send out resources all over Metro Richmond and plant local churches. And so the first church that they planted was Grace Community Presbyterian Church in Hanover County. Then other churches came along, one in the south side, Spring Run, where we're going to go have our retreat on Saturday, was one of those. And then City Church in the Fan was one of those churches. And so if you think about it, and then we come along, right? And so if you think about where we are in our geography, West End Pres is to our west. Grace Community Presbyterian Church is to our north. City Church is to our south in the Fan. And that basically left us with the opportunity and the calling to say, hey, why don't y'all start a church that is going to be right there for those people, you know, for the north side of Richmond in a way that you seek to impact those people in that place. And so that's not the call of every church, right? But it's the call of our church, and so we want to help you see and hear about that today. We're commissioned to focus on this part of the Richmond metro area, so we have a north side focus. Now, truth is, we don't think this means the north side's better, inherently better than other places. We're not just saying like, hey, north side is better than south side or better than east end. Like, why would you ever live somewhere else? That's not what we're saying at all. What we're saying is we're uniquely called as a local church to this place. And we hope that other churches are uniquely called either to be a regional church or to be distinctly focused and pouring into the places that they are. We hope that other places love where they are as much as we love being here, right? So we don't think every church needs to have the same narrow geographic focus that we do. There's a difference between a biblical mandate and a biblical basis. Does that make sense? Like a biblical mandate would mean, hey, everybody needs to do this. A biblical basis is, hey, there's reasoning for why one would do something like this. And so we think as we come to this core value for our church, there's a biblical basis for it, but there's not a biblical mandate. It's not that every church, actually most churches shouldn't have a north side of Richmond focus, right? That's pretty unique. There's to folks that live around here. And we want to be clear that this is our church's specific calling. Have you ever gotten into something and then you later realize, like, oh, I wish I'd known that on the front end? You know, like, we're trying to be clear on just a number of things about the church and just say, hey, we want you to understand. We don't think this is a have-to for every church, but this is what we're called to have this sort of geographic focus. This is how we say it in our newcomers class. We say, what if I don't live in the north side? And that's a good question, right, for a church that has this kind of geographic focus. We answer it this way in writing. We say, of course, you are welcome at our church. We just want to be upfront about our focus and the fact that our north side groups and our north side engagement teams will meet in the north side. So our church has a Jeremiah 29:7 type of call to this people and to this place. Now, let's hop into this. A little context on Jeremiah 29. The passage that we read. So it's the prophet Jeremiah writing to the Jewish people. And here's what's happened is the Babylonians have come in and they're in charge. They've taken over. They've come into Jerusalem. And they basically have this same strategy that they do all over the place. And they come in and they say, hey, let's take all the influential people here. And now we're going to take them all to Babylon, their capital. And so in what they were going to try and do is get all the influential people from all these different cities, all these different places that they've conquered all around. And they want to bring them to Babylon for the purpose of assimilating them, right? For the purpose of bringing that, like, you guys move here and then you're going to lose all your cultural distinctiveness. You're going to be assimilated into Babylon, and because you're the best and brightest of where you've come from, you're going to help us become a better and better place. And so that's how they worked. That's how they operated. That's what they were up to. So many Jews had been taken from Jerusalem to in areas around and been sent to Babylon. And different prophets were saying different things about what they should do or how they should relate in that space, how they should carry or not carry their religious and cultural identity. And this, listen to what Jeremiah said to this group of people. They've been carried off. They've been conquered. They've been carried off. They're in a place where they're foreigners. They're in exile. They're wondering if they'll ever get back. There's really not a ton of hope for that. And here's what Jeremiah writes. I'll read a little bit of it again. Verse 5, build houses. Sounds kind of permanent, doesn't it? Build houses and live in them. Don't just flip them, right? Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens. There's a process there, right? And eat their produce. So you're sustaining yourself off of the land. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. They had the opportunity to sort of say, hey, you could say, hey, shut it down. They want you to do good stuff for that city. They've gone around bad means to bring that about. Don't do a thing. Don't help them out at all, right? That's what they could have said. And yet, Jeremiah says, but seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. Not just pray for Jerusalem. Pray for Babylon, is what Jeremiah is saying here. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. He's saying, intertwine your lives in such a way as that as you help make that place a better city, you benefit. Like, you're there in a way that you're impacted by how Babylon does or doesn't do, right? And so pray for them and give yourself. He says, was this a call to totally be absorbed by or assimilated into Babylonian culture? Is that what Jeremiah said? Hey, go there and just forget about Jerusalem. No, that's not what he said, right? Was it a call to totally pull away and live a completely separate life from the Babylonians in Babylon? No, right? It was a call to engage with the Babylonians as a distinct people group and even to seek the welfare of Babylon. And that word welfare is an interesting word. If you've ever studied that, it's some of your Bibles probably translate it peace. Some of your Bibles, and some of you might know that it's actually that Hebrew word shalom, like seek the shalom of the city. And that's a really rich and deep word. It doesn't mean just like peace as in like things are okay on the surface level. It actually means seek the flourishing of Babylon. And this multifaceted flourishing, not just that they have, you know, good art or good music, but that they have all sorts, that in every way that place is flourishing, spiritually, physically, socially, even just the environment itself. All of those things are meant to, are included in the seeking the shalom of Babylon. So, friends, that's the call of the exiles from Jerusalem into Babylon, according to Jeremiah the prophet at this point in time. And what we want to say today is that we feel like we have a Jeremiah 29 type call to the north side of Richmond, that's what we feel called to as a church. And so what does that look like? Nobody can like descriptively or prescriptively describe every aspect of what it looks to look like or what it is to work for the shalom of a place. But we trust that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. But we do have some general directives and some general direction that we can move. And so this week, I just jotted down four for us today to think about, to talk about for y'all and your Northside groups this week to process through. What does it look like to seek the welfare, the shalom of the north side of Richmond? So let's go to this. Each one of them has its own slide. So we'll just look at the four of these and talk them through. So the first one is this. To seek the welfare of the north side is to commit to continual learning. Is to commit to continual learning. Now, I want to walk this through real quick because there's a number of different types of learning that we got to stay committed to. The first is this, is that we need to keep learning from our Bibles. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I say that first because it's the most important. It's of first importance that we keep learning from our Bibles. Everything else we're going to talk about, if you have your Bible closed while you're learning about the history of the north side of Richmond or anything else we're going to talk about, it is ultimately not going to be all that beneficial. Friends, as a church, we're Bible people. Everything we do is meant to filter through and come from the reality of the Scriptures. And so we stay committed and connected to and keep learning from the Scriptures first. All right, the next thing to be committed to learning about is we do need to learn about the history of the north side of Richmond as folks who are called here. No place is ahistorical, right? Like every place has a history. And the north side of Richmond has a complex history. And there's a lot of things to learn about and to process through. Have you ever stepped into a situation and then kind of midway in you realize, oh, this is a little bigger than I thought it was? Like, I entered into this conversation and I thought it was this big, and then I got into it and I realized, oh my goodness, like, I just stepped in something I didn't know I was stepping in. And that's part of what it is to step into ministry in the north side of Richmond, is to realize, like, this it didn't start in 2011 when our church started, right? Or whenever you moved here, whenever that was, there's a history to this place. And there's a lot that has gone on and that is going on that it's important to know about. If you're going to care about this place, you should be committed to continuing to learn about its history. To ask questions, why did this develop this way? Why is Chamberlain Avenue one way and Brook Road is different? What's the history behind that? Like, what's the history behind white flight? Why are some neighborhoods, why do they look like this and others look like that? Why did the highway go where it went? You know, why is the racetrack where it is? Why is this neighborhood this way and another that way? Friends, there's a whole lot of history here to dive into and to learn about and then to process through. What's the history of annexation in Richmond? You know, like why, like Charlotte is a part of Mecklenburg County. Why is Richmond not a part of Henrico County? Like why are the lines where the lines are? There's a history, friends, to all of that stuff. And a lot of folks know it, and it's important to know and to process through as we step into ministry here. Now, if you want to learn about that, which I hope you do, I've got good news. There's answers to those questions, right? Like there's ways to learn about this place, and we're actually going to do some of that this summer. Our own Sarah Kennedy's going to do something with us as we talk about different aspects of history with details to be worked out. Don't ask her about them tonight, but we're going to do some history stuff this summer where we try and walk through some of those different parts and pieces and try and help us as a body get educated on a lot of these things. So Bible first, North Side history. We also, if we're going to seek the welfare of the North Side, we've got to keep learning about cultural dynamics, right? We've got to keep learning about educational, economic, gender, and ethnic differences and what it's like to navigate through those things in one small geography. The North Side of Richmond, it's not unique in this, but it is special in this. There's a whole lot of different kinds of people who walk and live in a similar geography. And so we've got to work on and keep learning about what it is to have different people engage and interact well. How can I learn about that, you ask? Well, we have a retreat coming up this Saturday. We're going to talk about cross-cultural dynamics. We've created a whole lot of content. If you're new to this stuff, on our website, we've got Race in the Church lecture series. There's a whole lot of content there. We've got a lot of our previous retreats have been recorded, and the content is on our YouTube page. There's a whole lot of stuff to go and spend time looking at. And so I encourage you to check out The Witness as a place on the internet to keep learning and growing. There was a conference that just took place in Atlanta called the Just Gospel Conference, and all of their stuff is online. There is so much stuff out there to learn and grow in these ways. We're without excuse if we just sort of say, hey, I have no idea about this stuff. There's a whole lot of stuff. Just go to our website and you'll get pointed to a lot of it. So we want to keep learning, being committed to keep learning and growing in that way. Lastly, we need to keep learning about ourselves. We need to keep learning about ourselves. We aren't just neutral observers to the North Side, are we? We all have our own individual stories, our own individual lenses, our own individual histories. The way you view the world today and the way you interact with other people today is impacted by who you are, where you came from, all of your background, all of your stories. And if you don't know how those things are impacting you right now, you're handicapped as you step into to any place and try and interact with other people. And so we've got to continue to learn about ourselves. How might I do that, you ask? You're asking a lot of good questions today. We have a strong relationship with the Barnabas Center, and there's a lot of different ways, but it's helpful to do counseling. And it's helpful to hop in on they have trainings, level one, level two, level three, where you're learning to process through your story. Now, that's not the only place to do it, but it's helpful to process through, who am I? Where have I come from? What are my individual stories, backgrounds, prejudices, preferences? Like, who am I? To keep learning on that front. What are my fears, insecurities, deepest hopes? Knowing more about what you appreciate and value is going to help you navigate as you talk to others who might even appreciate and value other things. So that's the first. There's some learning that we just have to continually be committed to. It's not something, oh, we did one training on one of those things. It's like, we've got to keep learning from the scriptures, about the North Side, about cross-cultural dynamics, about ourselves. It's a process that we just commit to say, we're going to keep learning on all of those fronts. You might think, man, are we doing another talk on that? You know, and the answer is yes. And again next year, and again the year after that. Oh, we're talking about Barnabas training again this year? Yes. And this year and next year and the year after that. All of these things, they're continual learning modules. They're continual things that we need to keep learning about. So the first thing, as we seek the shalom of the north side, the welfare of the north side, is this commitment to keep learning. All right, next is institutional support and formation. Institutional support and formation. And so in the Jeremiah passage, it seemed that they were to think short-term or long-term?
Long-term,
right? So they were called to think more long-term. So it's great for you to be an individual good neighbor, right? We celebrate that. We champion that. You doing well as an individual good neighbor is great, and it's important. But it's also helpful to think about investing in things that will last after you are gone, right? Like to think about investing in things that last beyond yourself. If you were to move or to get sick or have to go somewhere else, it's great that you've been a good neighbor, but then when you move, it's over, right? And so there's something about institutions that provide an opportunity to either support something, to sustain something, or to create something, if the Lord is calling you to, that continue on after your individual contribution is over, right? Something like the Northside Y kept going when it changed presidents, right? When it changed executive directors, it keeps going. Like, it continues to serve the north side of Richmond in real and tangible ways. And so there's something to think about for us is, what are institutions? What are things bigger than ourselves that we could be committed to, that we could help support, sustain, and even start for the purpose of long-term ministry in the north side? And so things like public and private schools, the Northside YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club on Ladies' Mile, the public libraries, after-school programs, helpful 501c3s, and even our own church, right? To think about, what is it to give yourself to something that continues on after you, that continues on after leadership changes even, that sort of has a set of bylaws and a way that it operates and flows that's there for the long term. So institutional support and formation. Next, we want to have a long-term vision with real action. A long-term vision with real action. And so we need this long-term vision, right? That's part of what Jeremiah 29 calls us to, is to say, hey, this is not short-term, this is long-term. Get ready for it. There's a lot to do. Rome wasn't built in a day, right? You know, this is, it's sad when you see somebody who thought the race was one lap, you know, and it was actually a marathon, right? You know, like, we don't want to be those people, right? Like, we don't want to burn out. We want to be prepared for the long haul, have a long-term vision and focus, right? So that on the one hand, and here's what we have to hold in tension, is that we need that long-term focus. We don't want to burn out. We're marathon, not sprint most of the time. But there's also a sense in which we hold in tension that sometimes it's time to move on something. Sometimes there's a season to actually, to hit the gas a little bit. You know, go, hey, there's an opportunity that has opened up here. There's a window of opportunity, and we actually need to hit the gas and move forward. There's a window here for us to move forward. And so we hold these two things in tension: long-term vision, desire to not burn out, also with the sense that, hey, we actually want to do some work. Like, we actually might get tired doing this. Like, it actually might be difficult at points, right? So Rome wasn't built in a day, and get this, Rome wasn't built without a lot of days of work, right? Right? You know, just hold on to that. Like, to say Rome wasn't built in a day is not to say that there's not a whole lot of work involved. So we hold on to that tension that we don't want to burn out, and there's opportunities and points where we've got to move forward. Not that we're going to do anything. And this long-term vision is not an excuse to sort of say, well, it's a long-term thing. You know, it's going to take a long time. Therefore, let's not do anything. You know, like, therefore, we don't want that to be how we operate and go, well, we're in it for the long term, so let's not push hard right now. What we're saying is, it's actually long term if we're pushing hard, right? It's long term if we're actually doing stuff now. So It's a tension to hold on to and to step into. So we're not trying to do everything that could be done at the same time. We're just asking the question, what is God calling us to right now? That's a great question to ask yourself individually, a great question to ask of your family, a great question that we have to continue to ask as a church. And so, you know, it's a balance. I think the picture up there is of in tune with the north side. That was an opportunity that our church had to be a part. I guess that was last summer, right? The end of last summer. That was pretty cool. Who was there? Just raise your hand real quick. It was awesome, right? Like, it was in Bryan Park. It's the Richmond Symphony put it on. They had this big tent, and they had a whole lot of vendors out there, a whole lot of people out there, and we got to open it up. Like, our worship band got to go sing praise songs in the middle of Bryan Park, right? Like, and we didn't put it on. We got invited to do it, right? Like, it was a tremendous opportunity, and it was really cool. Do you know why we got invited to do that? Yeah, we got invited to do it because when they were looking, the Richmond Symphony was asking a couple of key folks in the north side, hey, we want to bring north side people in to do something. And they said, well, we've been working on this Brooklyn Park Festival, and there's a church that always comes out and leads worship. So they come out and sing and do their stuff. And so call them. Like, see if they'll do it. So we got the invite to do this in Bryan Park at a much bigger level because we've been faithful to do the work on Brooklyn Park Boulevard. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you this. There were different years on Brooklyn Park Boulevard where it was really hot, right? You know, if you were there, you know this. I mean, like, it's 99, you know, out there. And it, like, there were a lot of days it was like, whew, should our folks come out? Like, do I want to be out here right now? Like, where's the water fountain? Basically, there were some days where nobody was out there except for us, right? Like, we're kind of doing this by ourselves. But there was a commitment that we had made. And there was work involved, right? For Pastor Joel and for the worship team to put together extra work to go show up at Brooklyn Park Boulevard, right? To put this worship stuff on. And at points, sort of like, man, nobody else is here except for us. But it was a window. It was an invitation we got that we said, hey, yeah, it's going to be work, but we're going to step into it. That's the kind of work we feel called to. There's a whole lot of other stuff we hadn't gotten invited into yet. But we got that invite and said, yes, we're going to step into it. And that invite created certain things that created other things, right? So we want to hold these things in tension. Let's go to the next one, the last one here. We're going to seek the shalom of the north side. We're going to seek its welfare. It's going to be about the gospel being lived out in word and deed. Right, the gospel being lived out in word and deed, being great neighbors together, being great neighbors together. Turn with me to the front of your bulletins. The front of your bulletins, there's a quote from a guy, a pastor named Tim Keller. And he says this. He says this, Jeremiah's letter told the exiles to neither assimilate nor separate, but live out their lives as a community seeking the peace of the city. So we are not only to be witnesses by our individual lives, but by the beauty of our communal life. So not only witnesses by our individual lives, but also by the beauty of our communal life. So I wrote down there, be great neighbors together. That includes prayer, like this passage would say, and it includes living out the gospel in word and deed. And we've got basically a neighborhood engagement team that's risen up. So if you're on that, would you raise your hand real quick? Neighborhood engagement team. It's a strong team. Like there's a lot there that's happening. Some of the stuff that's bubbling up is just some ideas of different things that you could do to be a great neighbor together. Right, let me read a couple of these ideas for you. And most of these are built off stuff that folks in the church are already doing. Leave kids' toys in front yard instead of the back so people feel welcome to linger at their house. Exercise in the neighborhood, whether it meets your optimal workout preference or not. Help with yard work or emergency help during storms. Do fire pits out front and organize meals and care for neighbors who are sick. Share the gospel with people who walk by. Check mice traps for neighbors who are afraid. Know when someone is grieving and make space to sit or stand and talk. Dig cars and sidewalks out from the snow. Know when people, your neighbors, go on vacation. Ask for prayer requests and ways you can help your neighbors. Go to civic association meetings. Know the names and needs of your block. Know about and show up for neighbors' activities. Friends, there's a whole lot of stuff that we can do as a community in the north side of Richmond, even just as to be good neighbors together. Amen? We want to love this place that we're at right now, the north side of Richmond. We want to serve it. We want to give ourselves to it. We want to seek its welfare and shalom. But friends, is that it? Like, is the north side of Richmond the end game? It's not, is it? Ultimately, we want to see the end. Our calling is bigger than the north side of Richmond. It's to the whole world. And ultimately, our commitment to place is big. Is a commitment to a higher place, right? You know, do you remember Hebrews 13:14? It says this, "For here we have no lasting city." For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Friends, we seek the welfare of the north side of Richmond, but ultimately and higher, we seek the city that is to come. Philippians 3:20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, we can seek and serve the north side of Richmond. We can give all that we have to the north side of Richmond because we're actually citizens of somewhere else, right? We actually have something better, right? I'll be honest. I would love at some point to have a bathroom separate for my kids. And it's probably never going to happen, right? It's just not going to happen. That's a small little thing. But that's part, like, committed to the north side of Richmond. But that, like, my house is not the be-all and end-all, right? I got a better house coming. My yard is not the be-all and end-all. I got a better yard coming. You know, my neighborhood is not the be-all and end-all. I got a better one coming, right? Like, how I spend my time, how you and I spend our time, how we see ourselves in our neighborhood, we're empowered to give to others, to serve others, because we actually have something better, right? We have more than what we need. In Jesus and in the new heavens and new earth that he has promised for us. Friends, if you're here and you've repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus, then you have the guarantee of a future inheritance. You have the city that is to come. You have the forgiveness of your sins. You have the righteousness of Jesus applied to you. And you have, it's like, oh, I've already bought my house. Like, you know that it's yours and you're going to have it one day. And so that enables you to live differently in the here and now. Let me share this illustration with you. There's a woman named Florence Chadwick, and she was a world-class swimmer, if you've heard of her. She'd already successfully swum the English Channel, and she decided, hey, I want to do something bigger. I want to go from this island in California and swim to the coast. It was Catalina Island, California. She wanted to swim from there to the mainland, over 26 miles. And at points treacherous. So she trained, she did it, she dove in, she went, and on the day, the first time she tried, it got really foggy. And she got close, but she ended up saying, I quit, like I gotta get out. And they pulled her out of the water and they said, why'd you quit? And she said, it was so foggy, I had no idea where I was. And so I was tired, I had no idea where I was. And then they told her, you only had another half mile to go. And so she was bummed, right? She was bummed. But she decided, hey, I'm going to try again. So 2 months later, she tried again. Beautiful day. But if you've been there and lived there, you might know that the weather changes, right? And a fog again rolled in, and a fog even worse than the first time, where you could, like, they could barely see her at all, right? But this time, she finished it. In a worse fog, she finished the race. And she got to the end and somebody interviewed, and she actually finished it in record time. Like, she set a world record for this amount of swimming in this amount of time. And so she got to the end, she finished it, and somebody asked her this. The reporter asked her this. She said, when she arrived at the California coastline, she was interviewed and asked, last time you tried this, you quit. How did you make it this time? And she said, this time it was easy because I kept a mental picture of the California coastline in my mind. And as long as I didn't lose sight of where I was going, I could handle the trip getting there. As long as I didn't lose sight of where I was going, I could handle the trip getting there. Friends, do you see how that could apply to your life? When you have this mental picture of where you're going, where you're heading, the new heavens and new earth, all of a sudden, you can give in radical ways. You can be generous to your neighbors in radical ways. You can give of your time, your treasure, and your talents in different ways, in head-turning and head-scratching ways, because you in your mind so know where you're going. You have a mental picture that you're constantly coming back to, and so you can handle the trip getting there. Friends, I hold out Jesus to you. I hold out his new heavens and new earth. It's for you if you belong to him. Let's be people who live differently in the north side of Richmond because we know where we're going. Lord, let it be. Amen. Friends, we come now to a time